Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Sallallahu there are many blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, a lot of gatherings that we're in, the best we can expect is that we walk away with the gathering with nothing. Because these are the gatherings these days. And even that is a bonus, because unfortunately, in the gatherings that we have today, we often have backbiting, taking the mickey out of somebody, or other sort of slandering. And so often when a few people get together, especially in this era, what happens is you walk out of that gathering, unfortunately, with a sack of bad deeds. And depending on the length of the gathering, the longer the gathering, unfortunately, the more we lose. Now, our pious predecessors, when they went to gatherings, they went with the intention that I'm going to walk away with good deeds. And that should be our intention. Now, listen to this beautiful hadith mubarakah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beautify your gatherings by sending salat upon me. For indeed, your sending of salat upon me shall be light for you on the day of judgment. Now, how beautiful is that gathering, where there is mention of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Durood wa Salaam is sent upon His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No doubt that gathering is something which you will cherish on the Day of Judgment. Time passes very quickly. And you know, we should take accountability of ourselves in this week, in this month, in this day. Which gatherings have I gone to that have made my world, the life here, my grave, and my hereafter better? And which gatherings have actually made my life worse because I've committed sin, darkened my grave, and are going to lead to embarrassment on the day of judgment? And if we think about it that way and analyze every gathering, then we would save ourselves from a lot of destruction. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Piyar Islam, a truthful intention is better than actions. And it is the best of intentions. And for those who love Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is good news. Because the more intentions you have, the greater the reward. So if you've come to this ijtama or you're listening at home and you've made the intention, one intention, you will get the reward for that intention. But if you've made 10 intentions, you will get a reward for 10 intentions. Now, so the more the intentions, the better. And then try and make the intention that inshallah, I'm going to listen attentively, learn and convey to others. And there was one very beautiful narration. I'll share it with you before I start the bayan. That there was one person who used to go to the masjid. And whenever he heard a bayan, he used to go back home, sit his family down, and say, this is what I've heard today. How amazing is that? He used to sit his children, the mother of his children down and say, this is what Imam Sahib was saying today. These are the hadith-e mubarakah that Imam Sahib told us about. This is the lesson that we've learned. Gosh, we could do that as well. You know, go home and say, alhamdulillah, this is what we've learned about today. So try and listen attentively. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the ancestral village of Amir al-Sunnat Mawlana Ali Qadri Sahib, there was a very devoted man. He was very passionate about Yarmi Sharif, celebrating it. And he had a lot of respect for Sayyids. He had a lot of respect for the pious predecessors and the scholars. And when the great month of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala came, he used to celebrate and he used to talk about the great Shaykh, and he used to invite the children and treat them. One day he passed away and something amazing happens. He passes away, they've washed him, they've given him shroud, and they're getting ready for the janazah. And suddenly he sits up. He sits up, he reads the kalima, does tawbah, and then passes away again. Why? How? Because Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala said that my murid, no matter how sinful he is, will not die until he has repented. And whoever leaves this world after repenting will succeed in avoiding hell and entering paradise. Now this slave of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala had passed away without repenting. And so this saintly miracle occurred so that he could repent from his sins, because we all commit sins. And then he passes away. Now, this is the great status that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to his pious people. Now straight away, some minds will be thinking, hang on, how can that be right? How can somebody come back to life after the dead? That's, you know, it doesn't make sense. One thing to understand is this. Deen isn't what you understand or you don't understand. Deen is what it is. So if something isn't going to make sense to my two-pound brain, doesn't mean that it can't happen. And doesn't mean that it's not right. And the shaitan brings these whispers in. And we fall prey to them. And then there are shaitan amongst the jinn and the shaitan amongst the humans. And some people deliberately put these bad ideas into your head. You can't have walis of Allah, they can't have these powers. How can somebody come back to life after they're dead? Now Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator. He can give power to whomever he wills. Surah Bani Israel, verse 20. And the bestowal of your Lord is not limited. So Allah Azza wa Jal can give this power to anybody he wants. And if somebody denies that a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal can bring somebody back to life, then there are many, many examples. And they are ignoring the Quran, the Hadith Mubarakah, and 1480 years of Islamic history. This is the problem. Now if you look at the Quran, Surah Baqarah, there is mention that somebody was murdered. And the Bani Israel were told to sacrifice, slaughter a cow, and use a piece of flesh. I'm not talking about a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal bringing somebody back to life. At the moment, I'm talking about simply a piece of meat from that cow. And to strike the dead person with it, bringing him back to life. And the surah tells of 70,000 of the Bani Israel being revived after death as well. Now you'll know, you've heard that waqia many times, haven't you? Where a dead person was struck. So a piece of meat, Allah Azza wa Jalla put power in that, a piece of meat hit it, and the person comes back to life. Then in the glorious Quran, there's also a mention of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam requesting the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ya Allah, how will you bring the dead back to life? Ibrahim, don't you believe? Yes, Ya Allah, I believe. I know you're going to do it. I just want to see it for the peace of my heart. I know you're going to do it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, take four birds, get to know them, slaughter them, mix the meat up, and go put them on the four mountains, and then call the birds. And what happens? These dead birds, the meat of which, you know, is all mixed together, are put on different mountains, and when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam calls, they come back to life. This is the Quran. So anybody who has this half-baked concept of how can you bring the dead back to life, the Quran is full of examples. You know, Surah Kahf,
You've heard of the people of the cave. Allah Azza wa Jal put them to sleep for over 300 years. They were like dead. But then Allah Azza wa Jal brought them back to life. So it's not impossible for somebody to come back to life. Allah Azza wa Jal will resurrect everybody on the day of judgment. And so when Allah Azza wa Jal wills, He can give this power to the meat of a cow, just to teach the people. He can give this power to His blessed friends, and He can give this power to His prophets. And we know that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was famous for this, and we know that the glorious Quran tells us that he was bringing the dead back to life. And a very beautiful point here. You know, in the normal miracles of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we listen to, very few times do our scholars mention, but there are many, many hadith mubarakah where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought dead back to life. Many times. In fact, what the scholars write is, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's status and style and shan mubarak is so amazing that the others brought dead, you know, something that was alive, died, and they brought them back to life. The amazing thing about the miracles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought those things back to life that were never alive in the first place. So that stones became alive. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past them, the stones would say, As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah. You know, when Abu Jahl came with the stones in his hand, and he said, if you're a true prophet, then tell me what is in my fist. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I tell you that's not amazing, what's more amazing is, move your fist close to your ear, and whatever is in your hand will tell you who I am. How amazing is that? Now the stones aren't alive. But this was the shan, this was the amazing status of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the valis of Allah azza wa jal have this power. Surah Yunus, from 62 to 64. Pay heed. The friends of Allah will neither have fear nor will they grieve. Those who embraced faith and adopted piety. There are glad tidings for them in the life of this world and in the hereafter. There is no changing the words of Allah. This is supreme success. Now here, we're not talking about the prophets. The ayah mubarakah specifically talks about awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. These are the very special people that are so close to Allah Azza wa Jal. They've given up everything, and they've given up a life of desires and everything else simply for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And because they've given up everything for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed them with such powers that Sayyidi Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu anhu says that I see the world like a seed on my hand. This is the power of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala that Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed. And Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi writes, O people, listen attentively, beware. There is no doubt that the friends of Allah Almighty, those who have attained the good fortune of His closeness, they are not overpowered by fear, awe, or terror of any creation in the world, because their hearts are filled with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. They don't care about people. Their connection is with Allah Azza wa Jal, and they remain there. Let me give you an example. You know, sometimes when we're sat in a mehfil, you know, Natti Parks or Talawati Quran is happening, or somebody's giving a bayan and they're talking about Allah Azza wa Jal, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, or the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you get that feeling where you feel I'm close to Allah Azza wa Jal. I can really relate. I'm going to repent from my sins, and you get, you know, your hair stands up on end, and what they call it is kaif, this state of being very aware and conscious, God conscious. Well, to us, it happens once in a while, doesn't it? Hey, mehfil me, okay. You know, sometimes you're in a mehfil and it happens and you think, wow, what a brilliant feeling. The awliya Allah, for the most of their lives, stay in that condition. Now, can you imagine that? Constantly, everything that matters is what Allah Azza wa Jal wants, what Allah Azza wa Jal, and they are patient. And the reason this ayah mubarakah says no grief and no fear is because grief is related to the past. We still brood over everything that's happened.
6 months ago this happened, 3 weeks ago this happened. Why did that happen? Why did he say this to me? Why did I lose this in business? We're stuck in that grief. It's the past. Then we have fear of the future. What will happen if this happens? What if my son fails his exams? What if I have an accident? What if I don't earn enough money to pay my bills? And there's a fear of the future. What this ayah mubarakah tells us is that although normal people, like me and you, we have grief and anxiety about the past, and we have fear about the future, the awliyah, Allah, the friends of Allah are special. They say whatever has happened is what Allah Azza wa Jalla ordained. And whatever will happen is what the Creator wants. Who am I to judge anything? I'm happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla wants. This is what they do. And this is why they gain this amazing status. Mufti Ahmed Yarhan writes, he says, they are free from grief in this world and the hereafter, as Allah Almighty protects them from both these afflictions. They are sincere, firm believers, constantly pious and fearing Allah. It's not like, you know, when you get an opportunity to do a sin, what do we do? I think, mokacha. No. What do they do? They think, no, Allah is watching. Totally, all the time. We, you know, when we'd never commit a sin in front of each other because we're conscious that my brother is watching. But when you're alone in the room, Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching everything. You can't hide from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yet why do we do it? Because that consciousness isn't there. So what Mufti Saab writes is, they are sincere, firm believers, constantly pious and Allah fearing. They do not neglect any farz, wajib or sunnat act, nor do they commit any forbidden deeds. For them, there are glad tidings in this world and the hereafter. Testimony of their sainthood, their velayat, is present on the tongues of the people. Hearts are inclined towards these people, and at the time of death, angels give them glad tidings of paradise. On the day of judgment, they will be given good news. These are the promises of Allah Almighty, which will never change. O people, these are the people who attain great success. These are the awliya Allah. And you know, when you see these people, you know, you can recognize them from their faces. You think, wow, the nur on their faces. These are the magnificent statuses that Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows. Because what these people do is where me and you get lost in desires of the world, they say, no, we give up everything for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because the things that impact you and I don't have any impact on them, because they have trained themselves and have been blessed by Allah Azza wa Jalla to be constantly present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla and conscious that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching. The love of these people, and this is the important part of today's bayan, there can be no doubt about the great status of the awliya, and the Quran is full of examples. Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, great. Hazrat Asif bin Barkhiya, the servant in the court of Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam, who brings the throne of the queen. All these are examples, and there are many, many more. Sahabi Kaf is an example of the awliya Allah mentioned in the Quran. Today the ignorant say, where do you get this from? Where do you get this concept from? Well, try reading the Quran for once. We don't really read the translation of the Quran. We don't read the tafsir. You know, the Kanz al-Iman that is available on the Maktabas of Dawat Islami, amazing translation. The Clear Criterion, another translation, brilliant, easy to understand. And then you go to Sirat al-Jinan fi Tafsir al-Quran by Mufti Qasim Saab, and any ayat you read, and then you read the tafsir, you think, wow, it's an eye-opener. Yet we've got time for spending hours on these devices. I have to say, you know, hours, 18, 20 hours of browsing a week is kind of the bottom end. This is the bottom of the threshold. Most of us, 28, 2 or 3 hours a day. And ask the same person. And he says, I haven't had time to read the translation of the Quran. But when it comes to the status of awliya ikram, oh no, I can't understand this concept. It doesn't fit in my two-pound brain. It's not your two-pound brain. It's the glorious Quran and what the deen says. Now, the main, like I said, the main thrust of today's bayan is that there's no doubt that these are special people that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed. But what is our duty in relation to these people? Well, in our life, we need to get as close as we can to these pious people, and we need to have love for them. Surah Maryam,
Allah says, those who believe and perform righteous deeds, soon the infinitely gracious shall create love for them. And you will see that where these pious people are, they attract people to them. They attract people to them. Let me give you a prime example. Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah, is in over 200 countries of the world. You know, a lot of the mubaligs here, we've traveled quite a lot, you know, from America to Canada to Malaysia, and all these people, and they all talk about that they learned the deen and the Quran and everything, but they all talk about Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Ali and how amazing this personality is. Now, in that is a clear example for you. Somebody reaches that amazing status, people all over the world fall in love. And the more they fall in love with the valis of Allah Azza wa Jal, the closer they come to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you know, when they get close to these pious people take them out of darkness and into light. The greats of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, thousands and thousands and thousands of people came out of ignorance, darkness, and even kufr, and reverted to Islam at the hands of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala. You know, the great wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. Look at Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. I mean, at that time, if you study the history of South Asia, there was so much going on, and so much corruption, and so much deception about the deen, and so many corrupt beliefs, that it seemed like, you know, the deen might have, knows well, have been damaged to such an extent that future generations might not see the true picture. But then Allah Azza wa Jal sends a mujaddid, one man, and he single-handedly stands up and says, not while I'm here. And he takes on everybody. And I have to say, stood here over 150 years on, I have to say that Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman succeeded. He succeeded, and we are the proof that he succeeded. This is how amazing he was. Now Allah Azza wa Jal places that love of his pious people in the hearts of Muslims. Famous hadith from Sayyid Muslim Sharif. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when Allah Azza wa Jal loves a servant, he calls Jibreel Amin and says, indeed, I love so and so. You are also to love him. I mean, isn't that amazing that the creator of the heavens and the earth is saying to his archangel that I love this person, you also love him. Jibreel then becomes, this is a hadith in Barakah, Jibreel then begins to love that person. A proclamation is made, an announcement is made in the heavens. Indeed, Allah loves so and so. You are all to love him as well. So the entire creation in the heavens, the angels, start to love this person. This person is on the land. He's walking with the nur of Allah. And you know, Allah is saying, I love him. Jibreel Amin is saying, I love him. And all the angels are saying, I love him. I mean, can you imagine the status of this person? Then, the angels of the heavens now begin to love him, and the love of this saint becomes widespread. What happens after that? It is mentioned in the Hadith Mubarakah that this means Allah Azza wa Jal places acceptance for that person on the earth, meaning every person on the earth starts to love him as well. This is the unique status of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, those fortunate servants in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, who give up everything for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal then announces their love to the angels and everybody else. This is why these people are worth admiring. These people are the special people of Allah Azza wa Jal. And why do we love them? Do we love them because they perform miracles? Do we love them because they read their namaz? Do we love them because they fast? No. We love them because they are close to Allah Azza wa Jal. They are the beloveds of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when you love the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, you come close to Allah Azza wa Jal. This love is what takes you everywhere. You know, sometimes when you need to do something and you might not have the motivation to do it, but love is such a thing that it can make you do, you know, it can make you travel around the world. And you've heard many, many stories where, you know, for love, not money or anything else, just out of pure love, people have done something. I mean, let me give you an example closer to our homes, with our children. We carry out, you know, when we go to work, it's an 8-hour shift. With our children, it's a 24-hour shift. And we never give up. We never tire. Why? Because we love them. Where there is love, there is action. This is why, if I told you to just, you know, blindly do something, you might be able to do it for a week, 2 weeks, but you wouldn't be able to maintain it. But where there is love, you can maintain it for the rest of your life. This is why the wisdom is that if you want to get into Jannah, listen to this. Love means entering paradise. Yes. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala narrates that once a person came to the court of the last and final messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla and asked, okay, when will the day of judgment take place? Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, and just here a note, that just because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give a direct answer, again the foolish say, oh well, if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew when Qiyamah was going to be, then Aka Kareem would have told, but because they didn't know, that's why they didn't say. Hang on a minute. What about those hundreds and hundreds of hadith of Mubarakah that give you every single detail up until the day of judgment? What are you going to do with those? There is hikmat in Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not telling you. There is hikmat in Allah azza wa jal not allowing His beloveds to give that information. Just because you are not privileged to that information doesn't mean that, you know, they don't know. You can't say that if somebody doesn't answer a question, they don't know the answer. There may be many, many reasons why, you know, the answer isn't given. So don't take these half-baked ideas. So the person asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when will the day of judgment be? And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what have you prepared for it? Now, remember this. This is a companion we're talking about. This is, you know, Har sahabiye Nabi Jannati Jannati. This is somebody who we know is in paradise. We know that he would have offered salah. He would have had roze. He would have fasted. He had the honor and the privilege of seeing the beautiful face of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman. And we know that he died in the state of Iman. But he says, I've got no deeds. That was his humbleness. He says nothing. In other words, O Messenger of Allah, I've prepared nothing. But he doesn't stop there. What he says next is something amazing. He says, I have nothing except that I love Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gives a reply, which if we write in our hearts today and we walk away, this could change our lives. Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you shall be with the one you love. Allahu Akbar. You love the pious friends of Allah Azza wa Jal. On the day of judgment, you will be with them. You love the beloved and best of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be with the best of creation. And if you love the life of this world, and you enter into, you know, this deceptive love of this world, and you follow these people as role models, actors and footballers and everything else, and if you die in that state, these are the people you loved. These are the people you will be with. That's what we've been told. And it's a shame today that you ask somebody to name the entire local football team and they can reel off the names our kids can. But you ask them about the Ashra Mubashra and a lot of us don't know who they are. This is not love. This hadith of Mubarakah informs us that on the day of judgment, we will be with the ones we love. Now, we have that privilege and honored if we will be with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they bless us, then anything can happen. But if we look at our deeds, we're nowhere near. But at least we can be at the feet of the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And multiply that by 1,000 times. But at least you're at the feet of the servants of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you're at the feet of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala on the day of judgment, then you will be successful. If you are at the feet of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullah alayhi on the day of judgment, you will be successful. If you are at the feet of Data Ali Hajveri on the day of judgment, you will be successful. If you are at the feet of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatullah rahman, you will be successful. And the way to get to their feet
is to fall in love with them. These are our pious predecessors. The more we learn about them, the more love develops in our heart. Today, if we love them, tomorrow, they will come to help. Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu is amongst the greatest valis of the ummah of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, with the power that Allah has given, and these awliya Allah, they become more powerful when they depart from this world. And the powers that Allah gives them are amazing. Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, a man shall be with one he loves. And here, not only do we look at the virtue of loving these special people, but also when you fall in love, you want to act upon the teachings of these people. And the more you act upon the teachings, the more your life will be successful. Now sometimes, we know the deen. This is a very important example. I want you to listen very carefully. Sometimes we know the deen, but you know that you should be respecting your parents. But I've come across many individuals who said that the beautiful Madani environment of Dawat Islami is amazing. These brothers are amazing. Amir al-Sunnat is, you know, amazing. Why? I said, well, now I've learned respect of parents. I now honor and respect my parents. Hang on a minute, did you not know that as you grew up? Oh yes, I did. So why didn't you do it? I said, well, I needed somebody to wake me up. I needed somebody to take my hand and instill it in my heart. And now that this environment, this Madani environment, has brought me out of that darkness, suddenly I realize. And so those youngsters, and it was in Accrington many years ago, one of our Nigrans, he got a knock at the door. And an elderly man was there. He opened the door, and the elderly man started to kiss his hands, and he said, I've come to kiss your hands and feet. He said, why? He says, Hazrat, you buzurg, don't do this, you're embarrassing me. He said, no, please, let me kiss your hands. He said, no. He said, but can you explain why? He said, because my son used to be the very same person who used to rebuke me and shout at me and go out and come back at different times. You brought him into the Madani environment, he now prays his salah, he comes to the Ijtimaz of Dawat Islami, and then he comes home and he kisses my hands, he massages my feet and he looks after me. This is only because of the Madni environment of Dawat Islami. He kisses my hands, I've come to your doorstep because you brought him into this beautiful environment. This is what the love of the good environment does. You know, these awliya Allah, these special people are truly amazing. In Sunan Abi Dawud Sharif is narrated that Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed there are some servants of Allah Almighty who are neither prophets nor martyrs. On the day of judgment, prophets and martyrs will look at their rank with admiration. It was asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are they? I mean, you know, this, just think about this. It's the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is asking the question, is curious, and narrating this hadith of Mubarakah. And Dakka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that on the day of judgment, the prophets and the martyrs will be looking at the ranks of these people with admiration. And when asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are they? Akka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, they are those who, despite having no mutual ties or financial dealings, love one another solely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So your love of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu will get you to a great status. Your love for Hazrat Data Ali Ajwiri rahmatullah alayhi will get you to a great status. Your love for Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullah alayhi, your love for Ala Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi, your love for the pious predecessors and all ya Allah who are present at the moment, one of the great pious people, will get you to a status you cannot even imagine. Today, we're away from this love. Today, we like to question everything. Don't. When it comes to the court of the pious people, these are the people, when you look at them, they remind you of the shan and they remind you of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, if the true grace of Allah Azza wa Jal descends on us and we start to reflect upon these great personalities, no connection. We don't gain anything by saying that we need to honor and love our pious predecessors. They don't gain anything. You know, so I haven't got an incentive, but if you fall in love with Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu and these great awliya, what will you naturally want to do? You want to learn about their lives. And when you learn about their lives, you will realize that their life was the personification of the Quran and Sunnah. Entire life of these people evolves around the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what they teach their followers as well. That your life in this world is very short. You need to recognize who you are and where you're going. And if you are with the right people, if Oldham is completely pitch black dark, electric goes off, and there's one person in Oldham who's got a flashlight, and we need to get from A to B, would it make sense if I went my own way, or would it make sense if I followed that person who had the light to take me to my destination? Follow the light. This is what the world's like. It's a dark and lonely place out there where you get lost. But these walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, these friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, have that light that they can shine in front of you and say, don't go here, there and everywhere, get lost and fall off a cliff. No, here's the straight path. We'll light it up for you, and then you follow us straight to Jannah. This is what these people do. This is why the great saints of Allah Azza wa Jal have a special status. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah certainly declare on the day of judgment, where are those who loved one another for my sake and my majesty? Today, when there is no shade, I shall grant them the shade of my throne. The arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are many, many more hadithi mubarakah. I've run out of time. But the essence of our bayan today is be attached to the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the example that the scholars give is the Sahabi Kahf. They said that these pious men of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the era of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the king is a tyrant. They leave. They leave to protect their iman, and a dog leaves with them. And the dog just stays with them. But that dog gains such a status that is mentioned in the Quran on a number of occasions. This is why, because even if an animal of that sort stays with the pious, his status rises. Can you imagine this rise in the status of the Ummati of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who follows the awliya of the Ummat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? This is why we need to change. We need to have this strong bond. So we've got the month of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala. But let me ask you a question. We all say we're the murid of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala. How much do you know about him? How many lectures have you read? He was one of the greatest teachers. You'll be surprised that there are special courses that they're teaching in great universities from America to Oxford and Cambridge about the teachings of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala. And yet we, as followers of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala, don't know what they say. Let's read this. Go to davatislami.net. There are many, many bayans in relation to the great status of the awliya Allah and specifically Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala, and build this strong relationship with your pious predecessors. And then, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal, by the wasila of these greater awliya, will give us the opportunity to repent before we die. And the one who repents before he dies goes to Jannah, like that person that we started with. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the ability to change our lives and come close to an environment. The closer you are to a good environment, the more likely you're going to stay away from sins and do good deeds. Now, as youngsters, I know we used to say that it's your person, it's the individual. It isn't. Trust me, it isn't. You know, parents used to say, stay away from the bad people. You say, no, it's me as an individual. I won't do anything wrong. It isn't. Been there, seen that. If you're with good people, if it's time for salah and your three friends are coming into the masjid, you're going to come into the masjid. And if it's time for salah and you're with the wrong people and they're going to the wrong place, you will go to the wrong place. We're not that strong. This is why we say that Dawat Islami just doesn't give you the Thursday Ijtima. It gives you a 24-hour environment It gives you Madni Channel. It gives you the Thursday Ijtima. It gives you Sisters Ijtimas for your family. It gives you Madrasas for your children. It gives you Jamias. It gives you Madni Kaflas. It gives you Tarbiyati courses. It gives you everything. The opportunity is there. But the famous saying goes, you can take a horse to water, you can't make it drink. You have to make that effort. The more, the closer you come to the Madni environment of Dawat Islami, then the more it will change your life. I look around and these brothers, you know, we are all indebted to the Madni environment of Dawat Islami. If you want your children to be saved from everything out there, then bring them closer to this Madni environment. Ameen bi jahi Nabi Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say, Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say.